Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29. And Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them into the square on the east. Then he said to them, "Listen to me, O Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry the uncleanness out from the holy place. For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done evil in the sight of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him and turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and have turned their backs. They have also shut the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore the wrath of the Lord was against Judah and Jerusalem, and he has made them an object of terror, of horror, and of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. For behold, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his burning anger may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to minister to him, and to be his ministers and burn incense." Then the Levites arose, Mahath the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, from the sons of Kohathites, and from the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehalalel, and from the Gershonites, Joash the son of Zimna, and Eden the son of Joah, and from the sons of Elizaphan, Shimri and Jael, from the sons of Asaph, Zechariah and Mataniah, and from the sons of Heman, Jahiel and Shimei, and from the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah and Uziel. And they assembled their brothers, consecrated themselves, and went in to cleanse the house of the Lord according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord. So the priests went in to the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and every unclean thing which they found in the temple of the Lord they brought out to the court of the house of the Lord. Then the Levites carried it, received it, and to carry it to the Kidron Valley. Now they began the consecration on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they entered the porch of the Lord. Then they consecrated the house of the Lord in 8 days, and finished on the 16th day of the first month. Then they went in to King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed the whole house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering with all the utensils, the table of showbread with all of his utensils. Moreover, all the utensils which King Ahaz had discarded during his reign in his unfaithfulness, we have prepared and consecrated, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." Then King Hezekiah arose early and assembled the princes of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and sanctuary and Judah. And he ordered the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they slaughtered the bulls, and the priests took the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. They also slaughtered the rams and sprinkled the blood on the altar. They slaughtered the lambs also and sprinkled the blood on the altar. Then they brought the male goats of the sin offering before the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them. And the priests slaughtered them and purged the altar with their blood to atone for all Israel, for the king ordered the burnt offering and the sin offering for all Israel. Then he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and harps and with lyres, according to the command of David and of Gad the king's seer and of Nathan the prophet, for his command was from the Lord through his prophets. And the Levites stood with the musical instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah gave the order to offer the burnt offering on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song to the Lord also began with the trumpets, accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. While the whole assembly worshipped, the singers also sang, and the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Now at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the house of the Lord." And the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all those who were willing brought burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. And all these were for burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they were unable to skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore, the brothers, the Levites, helped them until the work was completed, and until the other priests had consecrated themselves, for the Levites were more conscientious to consecrate themselves than the priests. And there were many burnt offerings with the fat of the peace offerings and with the libations for the burnt offering. Then the service of the house of the Lord was established again. Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced over what God had prepared for the people because a thing came about suddenly. Amen. So after the pattern, remember, Jotham, good king, Ahaz, his son, bad king, and then now we go to Hezekiah, who is a very good king. And Hezekiah actually is one amongst this line, probably more written about him than any other king at this time. And so Hezekiah is quite young. He's 25 years old, and then he reigns 29 years. But when he enters into this reign, the major offense that happens is, if you remember King Ahaz, he basically shuts the doors of the temple. And he institutes, instead of worship and offering at the temple, he actually institutes it all over the land in different places, particularly the high places, to actually worship other gods. And Hezekiah makes this incredible connection that Ezra is actually trying to get us to make over and over again. If you're a king and you lead your nation to worship God, and you lead your nation to honor God, and you do what God has asked you to do, the result that happens is blessing. Like God moves on you and blesses you. Now, the flip side, if you don't follow the commands of the Lord, you don't do what God has asked you to do, and you worship after other gods, then the ensuing result is calamity. And we see all throughout, that's basically what happens. And he basically just calls it straight out and says, this is why we're in that some of you have been in captivity. This is why your sons have died in battle. This is why X, Y, and Z has happened so negatively, is because, look, you didn't follow the command of the Lord. And so his whole thing was to open up the house of worship once again. Because the reality, and especially in Old Testament, if you have to understand the whole idea, Hezekiah is basically saying the people of God should be with the presence of God. This goes all the way back to Moses when he first makes that declaration. And he says, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, then how will we be distinguished from every other people on the face of the earth? The reason why the Israelites were distinguished was not because they circumcised their males. It's not because they were God's chosen people. It's because the presence of God was with them. And in the Old Testament, in this way, the presence of God was in the temple, was in the sanctuary. We know that New Testament theology, what happens is when Jesus Christ saves us, then the temple of God is in us. And so we see this idea when the Spirit is given to all flesh. But the place of the presence of God was the temple. And so Hezekiah just makes this simple connection. The people of God should be with the presence of God. And so he goes about with these reforms primarily to open up the house of the Lord to the people again. Now, Ezra is telling us that the house of the Lord was in incredible, incredible disarray. How do you know it was in disarray? First of all, it took 8 days to clear out the temple. Now, if you've ever seen a thing of the temple, it's not that big. You know what I mean? And so, like, you know, when I'm reading this, I'm thinking of, there's this show on Discovery Channel, I think it's on National Geographic Discovery, but it's called Hoarders. Have you ever seen this? And the Hoarders, this show is that these guys can't throw anything away. It is in such disarray, these homes, that it takes like 2 weeks to clean out this house. You know, and when I think of it takes 8 days to clean out the temple, it's probably a very similar scene. And there's so much junk, so much trash, so much of, I don't know what's going on in this place, that they have to haul this thing and take it out to the Kidron River. Because, I mean, it's, you know, an isolated place because it's so dirty. And so you see that in King Ahaz's time, remember, he reigned 16 years. So you can imagine how many years the temple was left desolate. And, you know, all kinds of garbage. I mean, what a disgrace to the house of God that have come this way. So it takes 8 days to clean the temple and then 8 days to clean the porch. These are the outer courts that's surrounding it. And so, I mean, Hezekiah is probably walking into this thinking, oh my goodness, the house of God is in such disarray. I mean, this is amazing. And I was having... we're talking about trash and these things, but I went and we were having a conversation with Pastor Brian yesterday, as we're going to the airport and stuff. And And he looked at me and he said, you know, Sam, you have to plant a church in Seoul. He spent 6 months there last year on a sabbatical, and he said, you have to plant a church in Seoul. And in his experience, he was saying that the churches there are in such disarray. And we're talking about international churches, English-speaking, because those are the ones that he'd go to. And so we can't really comment on the Korean-speaking churches, but he says among those churches, it is in such disarray. I mean, I think some of my friends listening to this in Korea might get upset at me. I didn't say this. Pastor Brian Kim said this. And it says, you know, you have to come over here. And, you know, it says people, you know, because he went to churches, he says people just don't worship. And he told me he went to one church that was a church plant. And he said he almost, you know, and he's not a confrontative person. He hates confrontation. And so, but he was so angry during worship. He wanted to stand up and rebuke everybody, you know, rebuke the pastors, rebuke this congregation. He said, what are you guys doing? He says he went into service and he says more like a funeral than a Sunday service. And he was so stirred up inside. And that can happen too. I mean, the way that we kind of exegete this for us today is it may not necessarily be trash, you know, and all things laying around and stuff to clean up. But how else have we put God's house in disarray? How else have we been partakers, you know, maybe through gossip or through conflict, you know, or, I mean, if we're taking the messages from the retreat, or just simply by having bad marriages, you know, not raising our kids in the instruction of the Lord, that also in some way brings disarray, or being in a dating relationship, you know, that's not honoring to the Lord in any way, you know, physical intimacy is taking place outside of the covenant of marriage, and all these things are coming together that bring disarray to the house of God. And the Holy Spirit should really speak to us. So basically 16 days to clean up such a small space. You can imagine, it was so dirty. It was so messy. And then they had to go about and find all the utensils that God ordained through David, primarily through Solomon, through David's instruction, that they would use for the offerings and these things. And Ahaz, they're using it all over the place. I mean, it was just really a horrible situation. And so Hezekiah, being a good king, he restores temple worship. He restores the offerings. He restores the sacrifices. He restores the sin offerings, the guilt offerings. And the whole thing, he brings the people of God back to the presence of God. Now, that's what the restoration of the temple worship was. He brought the people of God back to the presence of God. And think about this. Here's another commentary. Not only was the house in disarray, but also the leaders of that house were also in disarray. And so they start off with the worship. Things are going well. You know, the sons of Aaron are happening. But the Levites, for whatever reason, the Levites are not ready. And so they're the ones that were supposed to govern in this place. And so during the time of Ahaz, they either fell asleep, you know, went away, neglected their duty, or whatever the case may be. Maybe because, you know, remember the Levites were meant to get their income, or not necessarily income, but their livelihood from the temple that was gone. So maybe they went off and did other work or whatever the case may be. But at the last of this, in verse 34, it says the priests were too few. There was so much going on, and so it took a long time. So most likely, they were not consecrated. I mean, actually, he tells us right away that they were not. And so and it takes a period of time for them to cleanse themselves before the presence of the Lord. And so these guys were just not ready for this. And so they brought disorder to the house of God, disarray to the house of God, by neglecting their priestly function and their priestly duty. And so when it comes time for them to operate in their calling, in their gifts, there's too few of them. And then the other priests have to come and help them to prepare this huge offering that's taken place. And so, and usually, by the way, these things go hand in hand. And we see Ezra trying to make this connection for us. the house is in disorder, you can pretty much know that the leaders are also in disorder. That usually goes hand in hand in that way. And so, I mean, I'm honest. I'll be the first one to say it. If there is major dysfunction in this house, I mean, ultimately it comes on me. You know, most likely there's probably dysfunction in my house, you know, or something happening that way. I mean, sometimes it's kind of independent, but I'm talking about something that is overriding, that's lasting, and these type of things, and usually happens as a result of that. And there's probably something that's not too good happening in our own homes. I mean, you see that with fathers in their homes. You know, there's disorder, disarray with our kids. It's most likely, you know, some kind of negligence or something that us as fathers, you know, or mothers are not doing right in that way. Now, sometimes there's an anomaly where everything is going right. And so I'm not saying that this is automatically happens this way. But generally speaking, remember, we are gatekeepers. And so we allow certain things into our home, in a church, our own families. Guess what? Those things now begin to affect our children. I mean, you can call that generational sin, you know, it's also part of it, or, you know, or whatever you want to call it, but that happens. And so the disarray in the house of God, you know, primarily the negligence of the priests to ready themselves for the work of God. Now, thankfully, the priests come in, they help doing this work, and then next thing you know, the end of 36, it says, "And Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced." That this word rejoice is so weak in English. I mean, they're talking about like there was this like exceedingly great joy that was flowing through this time because God had prepared for the people, and all this happened so fast. I mean, think about this. Think about the quickness. So you probably, I mean, I estimate probably around 14, maybe anywhere from 14, 12 years of the neglect of the house of the Lord, depending on how quickly Ahaz moved. You know, I mean, it could have been longer, you know, 16-year reign. And then in 16 days, these guys turn it all around. They clean the place up. They prepare the offerings. And then people start bringing their freewill offerings into the temple. And God starts moving on these people. And so, and they're rejoicing, thinking, man, God restored everything so fast. And which goes to another principle that Ahaz wants us to take over. You know, we feel like a lot of times that, man, you know, I wasted so many years of my life, all these things. Brothers and sisters, God can turn it around so quick, right? He can turn around so quick. And he's I mean, a lot of times we think that he works really slow. I want you to tell you, he actually works quite fast. And so, and he works with such speed, and that these things, he says, that they came about suddenly. And that's how the Lord moves. He may suddenly move on any one of us. So let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Is your house in order? Are you, as a leader of your home, a leader of your house church, a leader at your work, are you ready to follow the Lord? Are you ready to do the work of the Lord? Now let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. And then whisper into your heart of hearts the deep work of the things of God that He wants to do. He wants us to be prepared because He works suddenly. Let's seek God as we worship Him.
Your dwelling.
Convict you of anything as it relates to your house, as it relates to church or your ministry in some way where there's some disorder or disarray, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you repent, confess, and bring order, bring God's order. Make that connection in our minds and our hearts that calamity, distress is a result of disobedience. It's a result of not following the things of the Lord. Blessing, goodness, all kinds of wonderful things that happen are the result of obedience, of following the Lord fully. And that's really the theme all throughout the Chronicles. And let's ask the Lord to help us to make those connections in our mind. Let's pray. Let's pray, huh? Let's lift up our community that are battling through cancers, going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's ask God to breathe His Spirit all over this place. Let's pray for the leaders. Pray for our churches. Pray for SB Beijing. Pray for SB Shanghai. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu, Pastor Ricky, their families, their leaders, their teams. Let's continue to lift up the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. And let's lift up churches all over, especially in this season of persecution that's happening. Let's pray that Jesus Christ would still reign and be glorified and expand His kingdom. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask God's blessing over each member. Let's pray over their families and protection and just favor over them. Let's pray for just the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we don't operate out of our own mind, but out of the mind of Christ. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries, our young adults, our single life workshop that's starting this Saturday. I pray for men's ministry, Monday prayer, more and pure desire, and the women's ministry as well. Let's lift up. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our building and resources. Pray for a benefactor and for the Vision Fund to continue to grow. And let's ask God's hand. Pray for house church tonight, Blue Pool, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Ventures. And let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead our leaders, our hosts, that there will be such a deep presence of God that people will be able to really debrief about the retreat and continue to grow in the Lord in that way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today, God. Thank you for Hezekiah, Lord. Thank you that he thought, Lord, the people of God should be with the presence of God. And Lord, I pray that we operate in that same heart, God. And Lord, if there's any distractions, if there's anything that gets in the way from us drawing closer to you, Lord, I pray that you would convict us, God, and that you would lead us, Lord. God, help us to just fall deeper and deeper in love with you every single day. Lord, would you watch over us? Would you watch over our church, Lord, our people? Would you allow us to continue to run hard after you, God? We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.